Hi, this is John.
Hi, this is Lou. Welcome to month six. It's been lovely to have you for these 6 months. This is the first audio. This is about change, managing expectations. And maybe it would be good to start with a quote from Bottled Up.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Remember, Bottled Up, the book. The first changes we would expect to see would be changes within ourselves. You're probably aware that your anger and anxiety are receding, and that the powerlessness and helplessness have gone and been replaced with a growing confidence. We believe that you will feel stronger and more able to influence your life. These changes will in themselves have an effect on your drinker as he sees you become more confident and assertive. We hope that part of the change is within your drinker and his drinking. That, however, may take more time. As we've suggested previously in this book, it has almost certainly taken a while to establish the pattern of drinking that led to you buying this book, and put in brackets here, subscribing to this program, and it may take some time to alter that pattern to what you want. However, every change in you is a step towards that outcome, so keep working away at hope, love and share. Things should improve, and hopefully, eventually, change will come.
Hmm.
Now, I believe you did a thesis on change, didn't you? Tell us about change, John.
Most of my academic life was about change and how people change, and most of my research was in this area. And I think quite often people have, you know, unrealistic expectations about change.
What are their expectations then?
That change is more of an event.
Right, okay.
You know, that I've decided to change and therefore I'll change. I think, you know, one of the things to look at is the, you know, the sort of ubiquitous New Year resolution.
Yeah.
And that how many of those New Year resolutions are still in place on the 8th of January? And I think you have to ask yourself that, you know. And the answer, by the way, to that is not very many.
Mm.
I think you look at for some of you who have joined the gym, who have decided to lose weight or decided to stop smoking, then all of these things that, because you've made the decision to do it, does not necessarily mean that it happens.
Hmm. So you'd actually be better psychologically to say, this is the year I'm going to spend trying to, by December, have lost a stone of weight. So actually even to see it as this is a goal rather than something that starts now.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to go into all the research and stuff, but there was a couple of Americans, Prochaska and DiClemente, who did this, what's called the cycle of change, and how people move through various stages, you know, and it starts off really but being indecisive and then deciding to do it, and then moving through stages until eventually they're maintaining change. And I think that's what one of the things that we need to start to look at is that it's a process. It's like, you know, you push the first domino. You know, and all the dominoes start to fall down.
Yeah.
You know, and it hasn't quite finished until it, you know, gets round. So it changes something which happens over time. It doesn't, as I say, happen at a particular moment in time. It happens over time because the changes are not just in the behaviour, they're internal as well. You know, and it's about attitude. It's about, you know, our cognitions or our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs. You know, all of that has to change, and it all needs to align with the behaviour.
Okay.
So, as I say, it can take time. So the unrealistic expectations that people have are that, you know, I've made a decision, that's it. Or he's made the decision, therefore that's it. You know, you told me last week, you know, so it's about giving it time. And once you've started the process, then, you know, to continue on that process and to try and encourage the processes. You know, it's a wee bit like sticking a seed into a window box, you know, and saying, grow, you know. But come and water it every now and again, you know. It needs a wee bit of sunshine. It needs a wee bit of water. It needs a wee bit of tender, loving care. And change is like that. It needs a wee bit of nurturing.
And I do use this analogy with my clients quite a lot about change. It is that a descending spiral looks very much like a vicious circle to start off with. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of circular behaviour goes on.
Sure.
But actually a descending spiral, there is an end to it. And when you first look at a descending spiral, it looks very much like a circle. But gradually those circles become less and less and less until there is an end. Whereas in a vicious circle, it just goes round and round. And my observation is that when you first start changing, you can get quite a lot of, oh, no, and it looks as if it's becoming circular. But if you are doing the right thing, then it is actually a descending spiral. And be aware of that. And don't look at what you see on the surface. Look at making sure that you're doing positive things and knowing positive things have positive outcomes.
Mm. Yeah, I think the other thing is that change doesn't just happen.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't happen spontaneously.
Mm. There are moments, I think, where real breakthroughs happen, don't they? But generally it's step by step by step by step.
I think real breakthroughs happen, but what I'm saying is it doesn't just happen spontaneously. There has to be actually some effort goes into it.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's not passive, is
active. No, it's not passive at all. It is. Change is active. Mm. You know, you don't just sit there and wait for change to happen. You actually do it.
Yeah.
And I think what I feel about, particularly in this situation, is that much of the change that happens is with you.
Mm.
You know, you, the partner of the drinker, that's where the change starts, not generally in the drinker.
Mm.
And I think this is part of what, you know, the counterintuitive nature of Bottled Up. If the drinker changes, then my life will be better.
Mm.
And it's actually what we're trying to do is bring it around the other way. If you start to change your life, then the drinker will change.
Mm. And certainly Al-Anon make the same point as well over and over again. It is, although in some ways we have different steps, but for those of you who've come through Al-Anon, our zeitgeist is the same at this point. You know, it's about what you do, but we go further and say, but what you will change him. It is a new dance that you're starting.
That's the important thing. I mean, to be the difference between us and Al-Anon is the dance tends to be more solo, and we are actually going back into social psychology and saying about how it affects the drinker.
Yeah. So, again, we've said this before, but we say over and over again, change is about progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
Come out of this all or nothing kind of thinking. Mm. All right, it's about kind of less drinking, less often, less arguments, more peace, more social life, more support, more outlet. You feel better, more empowered. In fact, actually, if you grow, you're not aware of the fact that you're growing. I mean, when my kids grew, they didn't keep coming to me saying, well, I'm really growing, Mum. We were the ones often that saw the growth.
Yeah.
You did actually have we used to do these things at doorposts where you'd do a little mark, and every now and then they could kind of see that the mark had grown. But you're not conscious of growth, you just do it.
No.
And it's exactly the same internally as well as externally.
I mean, two analogies that I use a lot, and one is that, you know, there was a lovely little mountain he used to climb in Scotland, but the first part of it was an absolute slog. You slogged up a, you know, it was like a 30-degree slope through a wood. And you just didn't see anything at all. All you could see was this slope in front of you, and it really was a slog. And you just didn't feel as if you were getting anywhere because, you know, it was just one foot in front of the other. And then all of a sudden you emerged out the tree line and you looked round and, you know, you were way above the loch. All of a sudden you could see this wonderful vista and you could see where you had come from.
Mm.
And that was, you know, it's not about looking forward to what's missing, it's about looking back.
Bedan.
No, this was the cobbler.
Oh, right, the cobbler. For those of you who know Scotland, you might be interested. He's talking about
Bedan. Bedan was a very similar one, except, you know, it took a wee bit longer to get out of the tree line, you know.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's the cobbler. I always remember that, you know, and it's important. The other one was an analogy somebody told me, and it was about athletes, you know. 400-metre runner runs round the track, you know, and when they first start, they run round the track and they're absolutely exhausted, you know. Their breathing's like... and then they train and they go round the track faster and faster and faster, but the real test is not how fast they're going around. That's not the real test of fitness, because they may never actually improve that speed. The real test is how quickly their breathing returns to normal.
Hmm.
It's not that they don't get, you know, out of breath.
Yes.
They do. They still get out of breath, but their breath, you know, their breathing returns to normal that bit quicker. Their pulse returns to normal that bit quicker.
Hmm.
And these are the kind of metrics that, you know, not how many races that they're winning,
mm.
but that the test of their fitness, as I say, is the physiological signs.
Mm.
And I think that's what I feel about the bottled up program, is that much of the changes that you'll find in here are some of these things that you've just sort of talked about, you know, that there are less arguments, that you're less peace, you know, less anxiety in your life,
mm.
you know, feeling less depressed.
Mm.
You know, these are some of the you know, the important changes, and the changes that are easy to overlook if you have this kind of all or nothing approach to it.
Mm.
You know, if everything is focused on the drinker, then you may not see the changes that you hope to see. But if you, as I say, you know, like the cobbler, you stop out the tree line and you look back and you see where you've come from,
mm.
you know, where you've come from, then that's when you may start to see some of these changes. And I think that's actually rather important.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we thought it might encourage you, actually, to give you some quotes for people that have done the programme. So we've got some quotes here. Obviously, we'll keep anonymous who they are, but this is three different quotes. The first one says this: I joined Bottled Up looking for solutions, ideas and coping skills to cope with living with a problem drinker, in my case, my husband. I have allowed his drinking, let my life become unmanageable both for myself, my children and even my husband. Bottled Up helps in a lot of ways. From the information provided, sharing in the discussion forum, my favourite, and audios provided by John and Lou. All these tools, advice and comments from John and Lou help when living with a problem drinker. When I stop blaming the drinking for my unhappiness and starting letting go of my anger towards my husband's drinking, things began to change slowly for me. I started to recover from the effects drinking has had on me. I do not feel sorry for myself anymore. Since arming myself with all this information, the dipping in and out of the discussion forum, life has become better and much more manageable for me. I'm extremely grateful and consider myself lucky to have found this wonderful site. Life can only get better, no matter what the outcome. I now know that I can handle it.
Hmm. That's a lovely quote.
Yeah.
Nice advert.
Yeah.
Okay. A different one. I found Bottled Up by accident one night while browsing the net after a couple of nights of reading and liking the philosophy in it and behind it. I decided to become a member. Without doubt, it helped me put things in perspective, has helped me reevaluate my situation, has given me an avenue of release when I needed to tell someone what I was going through, but had no one I could tell. It's allowed me to stand back from the all-consuming situation and realise that there are many others out there going through the same situation, and sometimes worse, but able to talk about it openly and frankly and get support from others who understand. I like the techniques described and Bottled Up. They are not a panacea for all things wrong in my life, but they are a starting point I needed. I was drowning in a whirlpool of shame and secrecy, going through an endless circles of blame, guilt and threats, hope and despair, and taking time to sit down and work through hope, share and love helped me to focus away from the problem and start focusing on what I could take control of. It changed my attitude to a relationship, and slowly it's having an impact on both of us for the better. Taking the first step to open up and let some of the hurt and anger spill out in a safe and anonymous environment lifted one of the clouds that was over me. Thank you. So,
and then there's a third one here. I have found Bottled Up to be of great help in changing my own behaviour. I realised that if I simply kept on repeating, nagging, arguing, threatening, etc., I would just repeat the same cycle as before. By staying calm and applying the principles I read about, I've managed to open a more meaningful dialogue with my partner, and she has sought out therapy on her own. I don't expect everything to be solved now, but my life and hers have certainly taken a big step forward. It's good to have that one because we have talked a lot about husbands. That one's about a wife. We actually had a lovely email from someone yesterday. We haven't quoted it because we have got permission for these quotes to be used, and we haven't got permission, but it was a lovely email, and she was just saying that her husband has been sober now for a year. So you know, there are certainly bottled up feedback where the drinker has stopped drinking and everything in between, but we wanted just to say these are people that have done the program that have fed back to us. So would encourage you to do so, because people are being impacted. What about
can I just say something, and then say something about these particular quotes?
Yeah,
I think what's important about this, and I feel that it's important for me, and it's important for me to state this, is that bottled up is really, it's about you. It's about you, the partner of the drinker. That's what we set it up for. We set it up for you. And when I hear people saying things like, you know, these quotes where, you know, they are beginning to feel better, they're beginning to feel better within themselves, they find themselves changing, then, you know, my heart sings in that one. Because that's what it was really all about, you know. And I think that if we can just get that one single you know, thought across to people, that one single sort of point, then I think, you know, we've come a long way. Because it takes a focus, as this one says, takes a focus from the drinker, you know, onto things that you can actually do. And I think that's the empowerment, you know. And that empowering in anybody's life is what changes a lot. You know, that's the empowerment that starts to lift depression, the empowerment that starts to feel that you're in control of your life, the empowerment that starts to reduce the size of problems. Problems don't reduce, but the size of them and the importance of them can often reduce. And, yeah, and hearing that yesterday about, you know, the actual drinker changing, then, yeah, that's great. But the one thing I have to say, and it's the reason we set up the program the way it is that change starts with you. It starts with you, you know, and that's the important thing.
And, you know, your life is important to us, and this, as John has said, is about you. I would like to say at this point that we do have a sister website, and you might already have found it, or you may not, but if your drinker is interested in getting involved with a website, this one we have deliberately decided to charge for, because we felt it was very important that there was anonymity and that people couldn't just come and cruise in and out of a website, as they probably would do if there was no fee. We wanted this to be a very confidential site. But with 247, it is a free website, and it's used now. There's over 4,000 people on it all over the world. And it's a very low threshold approach, i.e. that you can come in to contain your drinking, cut it down.
Yep.
A lot of people actually find out gently as they, again, this softly approach, find out that in the end they have to give up their drinking, but that's something that the tools of the website actually encourage them to do that. And there's a lot of people on 247 now that have been sober for years, actually.
There's you know, quite a few people have been sober for over 3 years now, and you know, one of them is studying to be a counsellor now, you know, which is fantastic.
It's been going for about 4 years.
I mean, it's a real it's, we're really proud of that one, you know. And it's and if you're looking for it, it's 247helpyourself.com. You know, and it's there. But, you know, while we're on the drinker, I think the other thing that I would say from this is, if you start to see changes in your drinker, tell them. Particularly if they're positive ones, that is. You know, as I said before, change needs to be nurtured. You know, so if your drinker is changing, you know, and you're just ignoring the changes, then, you know, I'm not condoning it, but they may turn around and say, well, why should I bother, you know? So sometimes to say, yes, that's great, I know it might sound patronising. I know it might sound as if you're treating a child, but we all like a little bit of praise from time to time. We all like a little bit of recognition from time to time.
And again,
and we certainly like encouragement. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to nurture the change like you would nurture a seed.
Mm. And again, it sounds less patronising if you're saying, I had a really good day when you did, rather than, you know, well done for not drinking does sound a bit patronising, but saying it was a great day for me, thanks.
Yeah.
Just sounds as if you're personally sharing something going on in you. So, again, there's ways of putting things across and there's ways of not putting things across.
So what we suggest is, you know, look for the changes. You know?
Now, just the workbook, I think, is a part of the workbook is Count Your Blessings. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, it's Count Your Blessings. It's really, it's about, let's look and see what the changes are, you know. It's the old song, you know. Well, it's not that old, but, you know, always look on the bright side of life, you know.
Yes.
I won't break into it at this moment in time, and you should be very thankful that I don't. But it is. It's about, you know, accentuating the positive and starting to look at what's changed for the better here. You know, think of it as the cobbler moment when you're coming out of the trees.
Yes.
Look round and say, where have we come from? It's nearly 6 months now. What has happened?
Okay, and remember, the cobbler was the name of the mountain. If you were thinking, what's a cobbler moment?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for listening.
It's Ben Arthur, if anybody's really interested. But locally, it's always been called the cobbler, you know. So this is the cobbler moment.
Yes, yeah. Some of you who are on Bottled Up may find some pictures there. I think you've been...
the reason it was called the cobbler is because it's got three peaks and it looks... from some angles, some people suggest, although I've never actually seen it, is it looks like a cobbler hunched over his last, you know, hammering the nails into the shoes. That's why it was called the cobbler. Although I have to say, I think, you know, perhaps they should have been on 247, the person who named it, you know, because I just can't see it at all. And I've been up the mountain many times in many conditions, you know. But
anyway,
it's a lovely mountain.
Says us, we love Scotland, so we're having a little rabbit there. I think we're going to finish now. Anyway,
probably a good idea. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We've got one more audio. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye now.
Goodbye.